How can we engage the culture, especially in books, music, and movies, with charitable and critical discussion through a lens of faith and as a means of drawing ourselves and others closer to Jesus? I'm Ali LaVille.
And I'm Andy Norton. This is Though They Die, talking about the things of this world through the lens of eternity. Today, we're discussing The Batman. Welcome to the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Here
yet
we are.
Again on a beautiful March day.
A beautiful March day.
The weather has changed its tune.
Yeah.
And it's singing something.
What do you think it will be
melancholic?
Singing in a couple weeks when this episode debuts in April.
I hope that it is just lovely.
I think it'll be lovely.
I have trust issues.
Oh, really?
And so I am not overly optimistic, but I still have hope.
Okay, I still have hope. Excellent. Okay.
So we'll see what
happens. I hope so too. I do think so. I mean, we've had mid-April storms for sure.
Oh my gosh,
before.
Dude. It snowed in May.
Yeah.
You know, like, and usually, snow, not just, not like, yeah. Like it has snowed.
Yes.
Full on. I realize I've just said the same word four times.
Not snow, actually snow.
Right.
It's like, oh, jeez. But usually it melts away quick enough and we get back to a beautiful. So what's interesting right now is in Minnesota, with most of the snow's melted, there's actually so much trash everywhere. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, because it's all been in the layers and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of nasty.
I just want to go clean up this city is like how I was feeling this morning.
Andy, go
I
for
wanted
it.
To go do that. Which ties us into what we're talking about today, which
okay,
is...
Okay, Mr. Segway, come on.
The Batman.
There we go.
Just like straight off the bat, like oh my gosh, Gotham City is done so well and it's so nasty and so dirty and rainy and dark. And it's amazing. So we'll get into that. But yeah, he's Batman cleaning up the city, you know, and so that's the little segue there.
There we go. Okay, so context. I have not watched the Batman yet. So it's gonna be spoiled for me. My job in this conversation is to be kind of the objective party listening, to just ask questions because I'm ignorant, not because I have an agenda I'm pushing or opinions I'm trying to get across kind of thing. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm confident too.
I think I want to obviously like share to you about the movie, but also obviously there's themes in it that I think that we can both discuss as well. So I hope you also jump in on
those. Oh, Andy, you know I will.
Yes. Great. Well, let's just go right into a synopsis of this. This is The Batman. It's 2022. It just came out. People probably think of it as like Robert Pattinson's The Batman is kind of like the...
That's how it'll be remembered for sure.
Definitely, if you haven't watched it yet, like you're definitely like, oh, is that the Batman that has a new, you know, has Robert Pattinson?
Who's the director?
Is it Matt Reeves is the director.
Oh, what else did he do?
He did some of the like Planet of the Apes movies. Some of like the Cloverfield, like, or I think found footage type films.
Okay.
So he's got like that horror thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a big fan of Batman. So he's how he got into this role.
Nice.
And so, spoiler alert, I think it's awesome. I think it's a great movie. Like, I have a few critiques I'll definitely share later on. Honestly, it's an amazing film. And I think you should go see it at some point.
Okay.
And I hope spoiling it in this way doesn't ruin it for you in like your first viewing. But whatever.
It's a movie.
A sacrifice.
It's a movie.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's get into the synopsis just so people know what this is. This is The Batman.
Right on.
Batman ventures into Gotham City's underworld. When a sadistic killer leaves behind a trail of cryptic clues. As the evidence begins to lead closer to home and the scale of the perpetrator's plans become clear, he must forge new relationships, unmask the culprit, and bring justice to the abuse of power and corruption that has long plagued the metropolis. Boom.
Sounds like every Batman story ever.
Yeah. So here,
I don't say that. Sorry, I realized I was so monotone. Like, okay, it sounds wow. Yeah. Hold on. Let me just. Wow, Andy, that's really cool. It seems like they're starting off on a really fresh foot, as far as you know. Man, that makes me sound sarcastic.
No,
it sounds like they're staying true to the source material. That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, you're right though. From like, it is. It's that actually synopsis is like. technically functional, but doesn't really get to like what makes this film special. Sure. I'll hit a few things that make it special.
Great.
First of all, Robert Pattinson in the role of Batman. He's special.
Does his chest glow awesome. At any point?
Chest?
Does his
glowing?
Chest sparkle at any point?
No, no, that's great. No sparkling that's and no news. Pronounced.
Do you know the
nipple suits or anything? Like none of that sort of thing. Nothing weird. His suit looks incredible. It looks amazing.
Good, good. How are the ears? Are they? They're not. They're
they look great.
Okay,
they look
they're
great.
Not Batfleck ears. They're because Batfleck kind of looked like doggy ears.
No. They look excellent.
Okay,
oh my
good.
Gosh.
All right.
His suit looks like flawless.
It's tight.
It looks so good.
And I don't
good.
Mean just like physically
it,
tight.
Yeah, no. It's perfect.
Cut.
It's
right.
Honestly,
all right.
I would say
right
the
on.
Suit is perfect.
Wow.
I don't think anyone could disagree with that. It looks incredible. Yeah.
Come on. Okay.
And his like silhouette is just so good. it's so good. So he looks great. That's one thing.
Uh-huh.
He's only been on the job for a couple years. That's the thing. So
he's a new Batman. So
he's a new Batman.
That's kind of cool.
So, yes.
Because was Michael Keaton was a new Batman, right? No, he was established.
Honestly, I don't know Michael Keaton's Batman.
You haven't
no,
seen Michael. Okay,
honestly,
it's actually,
Christopher Nolan
I enjoy
might be,
it.
Might be my only like real full viewing of
wow,
Batman.
Of Batman.
Isn't that crazy?
Okay.
Like I never watched the full movie of like the Jim Carrey Riddler or anything like that. Some people love that kind of crap. Stop. Sorry. sorry. But like some
hello,
love
alienated
this
viewer.
Not,
we love you too.
I guess backing up for a second.
No,
I'm not a DC person.
Right.
I'm
a basic Marvel boy.
Yeah.
In your own words. Your own
yeah.
words.
Yeah. I don't think I've even seen any of the Affleck films. I know people say that. They're like, oh, well, you can, it's fine. But it's just a thing. I really am not like a Batman person normally.
Sure.
So this one, but this one was very much Batman. It wasn't shying away from that. Mm-hmm. It felt like a comic book movie in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. but in a totally different way than a Marvel movie. Like it felt like a Batman comic. And it was dark.
People have compared it to if they went in the same vein as Joaquin Phoenix doing Joker, would be the Batman compliment for it.
Okay.
Do you agree with that sentiment?
So have you seen the Joker?
I have not.
Okay.
Is that crazy?
Okay. Yeah.
I know you.
I think you talked about this that you've mixed feelings on.
I struggle. I don't know. It'd be.
You struggle to recommend it, right?
Yeah, I would. I would put some heavy qualifiers on it, and also want to know where you are at mentally
before watching it. Yes, exactly. Caveat for listeners.
Long story short, people praised it as promoting mental health awareness or something, and I was like, if you want to like demonize an entire and marginalize an entire group
that
of
happens.
People, and also just. Mm. No hope is the thing. There's no hope in the movie.
See,
and so it's like, that's a problem for me. If you're trying to hold this up as, awareness, but then you leave everyone in despair. It's like, long story short.
That's a great, so I would say I disagree then that it's similar to the Joker.
Cool.
Because I think it is dark. It is darkly lit. It's grim for most of the runtime. It's so rainy. It's very much in like the noir, genre. So if you've ever watched one of those old like what's his name, Sam Shady or something like that, like the
Slim
Shady. No. the guy who like is like a dark time in the city that never sleeps, he's like
noir Spider-Man or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I light a match and it burn down on my fingertips just
very
to
much
feel
that.
Something
very much
okay,
that
nice.
Humphrey Bogart, like
oh yeah
plays,
come
like,
on
those old detectives
yeah.
like
he's
like,
looking at you
kid. yeah so it's very much like that. And honestly there are times where I was like, if this was in black and white, You could convince me that this was filmed like 80% of this was
like
filmed
Sin
in the 50s.
City or almost where
yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about that movie. I realize I just know it's black and white except for the blood, I think, which is red.
Well, so that's an interesting thing. This is not black and white, but in my memory, like it's black
and
white.
Wow.
Yeah, and I want to watch it honestly as soon as it's on streaming or on DVD or whatever. I want to get it. I want to watch it, and I want to watch it in black and white honestly and see how it holds
right on.
Up.
Was there a color certain color motifs that helped that in your brain, do you think, like looking back? Or is it more just because John Wick has very for example stark color motifs and exactly what's happening, whether you are actively contemplating that or not, your brain is telling you what's happening based on colors.
This one did not. This one's not like that. And this one, I think there's so many movies that really would suffer heavily if they were in black and white, like John Wick. This one, I mean, there's like a yellowy light to a lot of scenes. There's a reddish light to others. But by and large,
it's kind of gross. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very dark.
Yeah.
It's very dark, darkly lit. And it could easily, the sepia tones almost. Mm-hmm. It's almost sepia. Interesting. Is what I would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is close enough to black and white.
Right.
And so that makes it really stand apart. It also, there's a few other things the fact that, he actually, when he takes his mask off, he has like these kind of raccoon black makeup.
Which makes sense. Your mask can't cover your freaking eyelids.
All the way up to the lids. Yeah, exactly. Right. Which I love that look. It makes him look tired and insomniac. Yeah.
Nolan
and
did
dark.
That too, right? He had makeup.
I don't believe
Did we not ever see him with makeup?
I don't think so. I think there was one of the criticisms of then he takes his mask off and it's like, that's not possible that he would do that. Yeah, I don't.
Did Batfleck have? I feel like Batfleck? Someone.
I don't know.
I don't know why I keep calling it.
I can't. That's a good name for it, Batfleck.
Because it's Batfleck. Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
that's so funny. Yeah, no, I don't know if other ones have done it, but I liked how it was done in this one.
Sure.
Another thing is it really focuses on his detective skills. So the whole time,
that's what I've heard,
he's basically a detective with Jim Gordon, and I love their dynamic. So that's another thing I really loved about the movie, and that I think stands apart is Jim Gordon's great, played by Jeffrey Wright. I don't know who else he's in, but he did a great job.
I'll look him up.
He did a fantastic job, understated in lots of ways, but their dynamic is
Gordon,
really fun to watch. Yep, Jim Gordon.
He looks intense.
He's great, and his voice is really kind of gruff and deep. And he's talking about
we love to see it.
Yeah, and
he was in Angels in America.
Wow. Nice. Okay. Well, their dynamic is awesome. He's letting Batman onto the scene of these crimes, and so Batman is this detective, and he's figuring out riddles and stuff. One of the riddles at one point that the Riddler, who's the one who's stringing them along, gives is what's he say? He says something about he says it can be cruel, poetic, or blind, but when it's denied, it's violent, you may find. And so then Batman's like, justice. The answer's justice. So there's riddles like that all the way through that Batman's able to find out, and other ways that he's able to kind of be a detective. And I loved that. I love detective type things, mysteries, riddles.
Yeah.
So that was a really fun dynamic. It was very much following those. It felt a lot like the movie Seven, which is a very, very, very dark movie.
Oh, yikes. Yeah. I haven't watched that one, but I know that it's very, very dark.
So it's similarly kind of a dark, gritty noir type of feel of following a kind of Zodiac killer-esque.
That's impressive that you would compare it to a very acclaimed, serial killer movie.
Right.
It is basically what Seven is anyway.
That's what it feels like. Yeah.
A question that came up, I hope this isn't backtracking too much.
No.
Do you think you are able to enjoy it more because you don't have as much stake in the DC universe of superheroes?
I imagine it. So I felt so free.
Because you love the Nolan movies.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, pretty... I don't know anyone that doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, some people, you're right. They're generally just universally acclaimed.
People are like, this is... many people would say that this is the greatest superhero thing ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Andy doesn't think so because, but a lot of people would say that that's the greatest superhero series ever, hands down.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what are your thoughts on how you were able to
receive it?
I
definitely felt like I was I always say if you are not a fan of DC or whatever, I say go ahead and watch this movie anyways and just enjoy the fact that you're an outsider that doesn't have to worry about any of the baggage of old Batmans or anything. Just enjoy it for what it is. I really do think it felt comic booky in all the good ways and not comic
booky
in the
comic
good ways.
Book
yeah.
Kind of is what you were getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say Christopher Nolan's Batman in some ways has always struck me as just its own thing. Not even DC or superheroes.
Well, it never joined any other universe. You know, we never got to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Nightwing
Robin.
Or Robin or whoever he was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think it was nice having that outside view. So other things that really kind of set this one apart, the score is truly incredible. Michael Giacchino, I think is his name, who did Rogue One. And a bunch of other things. Definitely some similar things to Rogue One because the main theme is just this heavy kind of plotting march that's very similar to the Imperial March, which in turn was inspired by Chopin's Funeral March. So it's just like, I think in the Batman, it's just like, boom, 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 boom.
So
just
very,
like, very bum, like just, bum, bum, yeah, very bum, much like that. Bum, or the, yeah, the funeral march of Chopin is like, do, 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 do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So it's very, so good. The main theme is excellent. It's used throughout to such good effect.
Yeah.
And also he has these stings that are incredibly evocative, like just like stings of music I think when there's action or when there's like something's hitting someone emotionally in certain ways, or when someone's like stepping out of the shadows, it's sort of not Mickey Mousing it, but like just like bringing like this emotional edge
is it
so many scenes.
String led? So when you say, because
usually I feel like a sting is
okay,
kind of string led.
It'd be jazzier if it was brass or it was like,
No, I think it's more of like more of a string. Exactly. Okay, yeah. Like really incredibly evocative stings. I just kept on thinking of that. I was like, wow, like this is, and I just love that because it kind of cutting into you. You know,
totally.
It's excellent. The music is just so good. So good.
I would think that shows a certain amount of well thought out shots as well. I mean, I suppose you could film everything and then go in and say, hey, can you score this and that sort of thing? But at any rate, I mean, it's just, it's still a good use of all your tools.
Oh, it's so good. I guess,
which is nice as a viewer to be like, oh, this is excellent.
Well, yeah. Done. Oh my gosh. The music was great. So it helped set the tone, along with, you know, the visuals, obviously. Mm-hmm. So good. Interestingly, the opening shot is not actually Michael Giacchino's music, but it's actually, the Ave Maria, Schubert. Is that how you pronounce it?
Interesting. Schubert's Ave Maria.
Yeah.
That's the probably most common.
The most classic, you know.
Ave Maria.
Yeah, exactly. Sung by a woman.
That sounds like
it's usually sung, I think it's probably sung at funerals. It's definitely sung at weddings.
Right.
A lot.
I meant in the opening. Is it a wedding or a funeral?
No.
Oh, well, okay.
Kind of a funeral. It's someone gets killed.
We don't know
very quickly. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But it's more of, I think it's the Riddler is looking at somebody and then is showing up. And it's really interesting that it's used. It has a little bit of the feel of many other movies that portray a serial killer or someone who's very evil as listening to like classical music. It kind of has that vibe.
Right.
But I think there's a lot more to it because the Ave Maria is a very emotional song.
Mm-hmm.
It really goes through. It kind of it's like a journey of a song.
And
it builds. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's the chord progression is lovely because you feel the chord mounting. The bum 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 bum, and it's kind of one upping itself every time, and
absolutely.
Then it tapers off. And
yes. Yeah. I think there's a really whole nice journey to it, which I think it makes sense why the Riddler would have that be his thing, because his he takes him through a whole journey of these clues.
Do we know he's listening to it, or is it?
No, it's like it's
the
not
soundtrack.
Diet,
it's not
yeah,
in
it's not
the
dietetic
scene.
Or whatever the phrase is. It's not in the diegetic. It's not in the scene.
Okay,
it's like you're hearing it.
Sure.
But you're very much assuming that's in that's like in his mental, because you're seeing it. The first shot is like through his eyes, like he's looking through like a scope or something. Riddler.
Interesting. Wow.
And you're hearing the Ave Maria, so it's kind of like you're in his head. Hearing the Ave Maria.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
And then near the very end of the movie, he actually does sing a line of it. The Riddler does.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
So it confirms.
It carries all through the movie. Like it comes up multiple times, Ave Maria. But I think it's a perfect song for it because it doesn't really match in lots of ways. Because of course, Ave Maria is like a beautiful song of hope and trust and faith and everything. But it's being used by this serial killer, and it's also
crazy.
It's also such a dark movie. Like, why is there? Where's the hope? But the hope does come near the end. Mm. And I think that, you know, the song is about Mary and being the mother of God and addressing her as the mother of God, like pray for us. In a sense, I think it's a little bit of a spiritual acknowledgement of the city needs
something greater.
The city needs a mother. It needs it needs a protector. It needs an intercessor, which in like an intercessor of hope, not like an angel of death, which is probably the biggest like theme of the movie. And so that's why I would say that I just love so much about the movie is the main theme is so good. Because the main theme is that the Batman can't just be vengeance and using fear as a tool. He needs to inspire hope, and the change that's needed cannot be achieved through violence and through fear.
Interesting, right? Because he's young Batman. Usually, that's something old Batman realizes.
Yeah. So so right here though, like at the beginning, he even refers to himself as like I am vengeance.
Right.
It's almost like his name. That's in the trailer. Yeah. That's right. So it's almost his name for the first like for most of the movie. It's like vengeance, not the Batman. And he talks about how fear is a tool.
He's using the bat motif though, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's got the bat. Okay. Yeah. It's on his chest. It's like a big bat and all that. And eventually, he refers to himself as the Batman, but. But he really, like, I think he says, I am vengeance at one point. Catwoman, who's played by Zoe Kravitz, I think says, like, okay, she refers to him as vengeance or whatever, because he said, I am vengeance. But, like, he identifies as that.
Right.
And he talks about how fear is a tool. And it's kind of all about that. The whole opening scene is this incredible scene, Ali, that I think you would love, where... he's talking. There's like an over narration in a very, very noir style.
Sure.
And he's talking about how criminals like see the bat sign in the sky and are like looking at the shadows, expecting him to be there. But like it keeps on having like the camera keeps on like they see the bat sign, they look at the shadows, the camera dwells in the shadows, but then like he's not there. But they like stop doing what they're doing and like run away or whatever. But it does that multiple times. And then finally there's this one group that's about to go assault someone, in fact, an Asian American, which is obviously a particularly poignant and like real thing. And then he actually steps out of the shadows and like it's so like stirring and like almost scary, like see him come out of the shadows. But it's amazing. But like you get this feeling of like it's cool, but like he's trying to rule through fear and through violence and through just like kind of unhinged like aggression. And what ultimately happens is that approach is what births the Riddler. The Riddler is really imitating the Batman in so many ways and trying to achieve his ends through violence. Because on some level, the Riddler is actually exposing corruption in the city. But like with that, he has this attitude of violence and wanting, you know, happy to let people be killed because of it, or almost sees the city as unredeemable. So by the end of the movie, he realizes that he can't just be vengeance.
Right.
And he needs to inspire hope. So actually a couple of things that happens is that near the end of the movie, he's encountering this kind of protege parrot of the Riddler. There's like several guys like dressing up like the Riddler.
Oh, interesting.
And one of them says to him, like, I am vengeance. And so he's like struck and there's like a sting of music and like he like is realizing like I created this through this approach of like glorifying fear and vengeance as tools of fighting crime. And yeah, and there's an amazing juxtaposition where at the beginning, after he saves that man who's about to be assaulted, the man is like kind of fearful of him and doesn't really want to like him to help him because he's afraid he's going to get hurt by him, even though he just knocked out all these criminals. At the end, as he's like turned into a more of a kind of hope and of serving people, this woman like who's about to be taken away on a stretcher like clutches his hand and like he doesn't want to let go, and like that like is such a great symbol of like the journey that he goes on from like he's instilling fear even in like innocent people, and at the end like they're actually like clutching onto him and he's a symbol of hope at that point.
Totally.
Yeah.
What tools are employed to get to that place, because it could. So keep in, bearing in mind, I know nothing about the movie. Aside
right,
from
right,
the
right, right.
And feel free to speak freely. Feel free to speak freely. That's a fair thing to say.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally, totally. I think I get what you're about to ask, but yeah.
Yeah, ahead. So I think I'm particularly interested in, because that's a, what you just said is probably exactly what the production team would want you to say.
Yeah.
I would think anyway, yeah. Right? No, I mean, totally, that sounds totally like a happy customer kind of thing.
I'm getting a check.
Yeah, right. There,
right now.
Thanks,
it's
Warner.
In the mail
whoever.
Right now.
We don't have any sponsors. So what I'm interested in is, what, just to look at some of the specifics of his journey and what happened, and was it, I mean, clearly it was believable for you. And yeah, so I would love to hear more just about what kind of the steps were to get to from A to B kind of thing.
Totally.
And then breaking down to kind of, I don't know, maybe the human condition in those, whether it was,
because
typical steps to get from something to that, I would say are, you've usually got some sort of mentor figure that's mm-hmm. speaking truth. You've usually got some sort of peer figure, I would say, that's speaking truth.
Yep.
And then you've got suffering to play its role.
Mm-hmm.
That comes in and is usually a reckoning of some sort for whatever your mental state is. And then you've got, you know, someone, probably some, you know, and I would guess this is the Riddler's role, is someone who is super not speaking truth, and that kind of makes you aware of what is actually true, and some things like that.
Yeah.
And you know, and then there's all the grappling, and you probably mess up at some point. That's, I feel like that's pretty typical hero journey. You know, there's usually some mess up that then leads to a greater humility, which then leads to greater strength or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it does kind of follow all the things you just said.
Great.
On some level.
We can stop then.
In a different way, though. Like,
okay,
I mean,
cool,
like,
cool.
Like, because the fact that he's only been doing it for 2 years, but he has been doing it for 2 years. So that looms large. And I think in some ways, like, his failure is almost shown to be, like, what happened before.
Interesting.
On some level, which is an interesting choice. It's not like, I don't think he makes so much of, like, a major failure in the film.
Oh,
so much as
okay.
It's almost more of like a reckoning with the way that he's been operating.
So we're okay. We're assuming based on kind of a little montage of how things are.
Yes.
Okay. And that's the opening thing you mentioned with the shadows and everything.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. That kind of like is indicative of how he's been doing his thing.
Got it.
And yeah, because he says that he's like, for 2 years I've been doing this thing.
Right on.
And the main thrust of what happens is that he does encounter, or these riddles start happening with the Riddler.
Right.
And the Riddler is taking them along this kind of, this merry chase. Not merry, it's very dark. This dark chase. And through that, the Riddler starts revealing like these, that there's like more and more, that there's corruption in the city. So he's starting to see like more and more people, like the DA and the mayor and other people who are involved in corruption. And eventually it comes to the point where he actually realizes, and this is really unique for this film, that even his parents had a role where they actually were, I think the Riddler accuses his father of having had this like journalist killed, I think.
Oh wow.
And then Alfred says no, like he did like try to get the journalist silenced, but like not, he didn't want him killed. When the journalist was killed, his father was going to turn himself and what was his name,
the mayor or the DA?
The guy who got the guy killed, that he was like working with, Carmen Falcone, I think. Who's in it? John Turturro plays him. So I think he had the Wayans killed because of that. So like, yes, he was involved with corruption, but not as badly as what the Riddler said. But
yeah,
still,
but that's,
it's still a dark, like, thing, and like corruption in the Wayne family, which has never been shown, at least in Batman movies I know of.
They're the picturesque parents and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that's interesting, because if he's complicit, right? Whether he was knowingly, you know, like, it does not sound like he chose that.
Yeah.
But he was wanting to do something to save face.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, right, the dude overreacted and he was like, okay, wait, hold on, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then Falcone kills the parents.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Interesting.
It's interesting. What I like about it is that, so at one point early, I think in the trailer, I think you see this too, where the one woman who's like running to be the mayor, I think says like,
oh,
you've been, like, you could be doing so much more for the city, Mr. Wayne. Like, you know, like your
father. Oh, she's running to be mayor.
Okay. Yeah. And she says like, your father, like, you know, was a philanthropist, but as far as I can tell, you're not really doing anything. And on some level, it's like, oh, that's an interesting thought. Like, again, it hasn't really been brought up in the Batman movies I've seen of like, shouldn't he be using his like vast fortune to like serve the city more? But yeah. The thing is that almost is a counter argument to that is like this, you know, his father's philanthropy ended up being, you know, an occasion for corruption as well. And like,
right.
There's a way in which like philanthropy isn't always like pure and good, you know, like
because it's humans, right? I mean, right. If you do anything, I almost said if you do anything, there's going to be corruption. That's not necessarily true. Humans are flawed.
Where
right?
There's power and money, yeah,
right. Humans are flawed, often. And so there's going to be flaws,
yeah,
which isn't necessarily an argument against, but it's. That's so interesting. So I think it's interesting. I do think the Nolan movies addressed using money for good, right? Because didn't his father in the Nolan movies come up with the idea for the above ground transportation system?
Oh, did he?
I think so. And that ended up causing a greater gap, I think, between the upper class and the lower class.
Oh.
And he comes to Bruce kind of realizes this, not kind of, Bruce realizes this.
Yeah.
I think as he's fighting Ra's al Ghul in the first movie.
Oh gosh, I didn't
watch
that.
That's why he's totally
that
okay with blowing up the thing because he sees it as actually a...
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the Nolan movies does address some of the philanthropy
okay.
of Bruce Wayne.
Interesting.
Maybe not as explicitly in the subsequent films, but I think the first movie does get into it
a bit. I need to rewatch Batman Begins like really badly.
It's really yeah. good. Yeah, it's totally. A really good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's
it
all
so
about the Joker.
By Dark Knight. Yeah,
exactly, right, right. Exactly. And I think the first movie's great. And
yeah.
I even enjoy the third movie. I like the third movie. I thought it was good.
Totally.
At any rate, we're here for the Batman.
Yeah.
So I think the philanthropy thing is interesting though because what I guess my question, because I haven't seen it again, my question would be, does it offer a solution or is it saying no, the city needs to take over more? I wouldn't think so because it's showing that the mayor is corrupt and the DA is corrupt.
Yeah.
Or is it it's pointing out some problems. Does it offer
yeah.
a solution or does he come to a conclusion?
There's a point once he's kind of realized like everything and seen like this person saying like I am vengeance like, right in front of him.
Right.
I feel like the key like change that happens there is he there's this moment where he actually like dives into this like pool of water and like helps these people, just like gets down there with them. And so there's a way in which it's like, instead of just fighting the bad guys, he like is getting in, he's getting in there mm-hmm. and he actually like leads them out, like carries them out. He has a,
grapple line.
Well, that, and also he has a, like a flare that he like lights
oh,
up
nice,
and
right
leads
on
them out. And so I think he like gets down with them
mm-hmm.
and helps them out and, you know, getting people onto stretchers and all that sort of thing. And maybe there's more to it than that, but that was a really powerful image when he leaps down, risks his life mm-hmm. like just jumping down there
totally
and helps them out. I feel yeah. like there were a ton of I'm seriously Illy. There was so many like scriptural images in that. I think
right on
because
yeah.
it's like the what's it the condescension of God, you know, like that phrase condescension, like the coming
oh,
down.
I'm unfamiliar.
So there's this condescension normally is a bad thing, right? Like when
right,
you're
right,
talking
right.
down to somebody.
Yeah.
But when in theology, when you're talking about like the condescension of God, it's the coming down of God, like the coming down onto our level.
Okay.
Normally when you
okay,
say condescension,
Norton.
Like I'm speaking down like you're on a lower level.
Right,
but
like how dare you?
Yes.
Demeaning would be a more fitting
yes,
term.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. But the condescension of God is the coming down into our reality, into our like mess and
yeah.
helping us.
Okay.
So I think that's the big thing is like getting into the mess. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just scaring people straight, but actually like getting down there with them, which is a very like scriptural
accompaniment.
Thing. Yeah, accompaniment.
Discipleship.
Yeah, and like almost a you know, I mean, instead of just like people fearing the wrath of God, you know, the mercy of Jesus, the Jesus with us, like Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
It's kind of the look, the image there. And even he gets down, mm-hmm. he's leading them out of the water, and there's this overhead shot of him just leading them through like the water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big plot thing that happens is that the Riddler, his like ultimate thing, his ultimate plan.
It's going to poison the water source too.
No, it's blow up. Oh. This is interesting. Blowing up all these levees or whatever. And so then the city is flooded, which I didn't think about until literally like 5 minutes before we started recording. But it's literally
New Orleans.
No, it's literally the flood.
Oh, interesting.
It's literally this city is corrupt and beyond.
Oh, like, wow. Beyond, let's just start over.
It's subtle. Like there's not a explicit, you know, reference to scripture or anything, it's definitely like the same thing. It's a cleansing of the city through this flood.
I'm struggling to believe the stakes are that high because Gotham is huge and the skyscrapers are huge. What is the body of water that's going to pulverize that? You know, where I'm coming from?
No,
I find that hard to buy in.
So that's funny you mentioned that, because I do think when you're watching it, you're kind of like, okay, this wasn't hinted at. Like it wasn't like it was you didn't have these like early establishing shots where you see that.
The water is nearby.
Yeah, the city's like New Orleans, you know, where like, you know.
You're literally below sea level.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a ton of rain, so maybe that's one thing. But like, there's no like, oh, if the levees were to break, we would be screwed. You know, like.
They don't hint on that.
They don't hint on that until like the very end.
It's Edgar Wright that does the TV montage really well to tell you what's happening.
To tell you what's happening.
They're flipping through channels.
Yeah, there's not.
Nothing like that.
I don't think there's a big foreshadowing of it, which is, I think, unfortunate. But on the other hand, kind of makes the imagery more take place. That makes sense?
Okay.
So I think you have to think of it less as a, oh, wow, this is a practical issue, and more of the imagery of people are being flooded out by this. I mean, that's a huge deal. If the whole city's flooded,
right.
It doesn't matter if you have skyscrapers, if you're, you know, if
the top
10 feet of water
down.
At the bottom, I guess everyone's in trouble.
Right. But I mean, they have concrete bases, and concrete tends to not care about water.
Yeah.
Far as I remember, anyway.
Yeah.
What do they do to make the stakes happen? I mean, I'm pigeonholing the conversation here, but is there like a shot of, do you get a sense of how massive the levee is, or do you get a sense of,
there's like this, the Riddler is kind of finally explaining his plan, like when it's just too late for the Batman to actually do anything
classic,
about it. And then
classic.
Like, and then there's, you like see the vans, and then he's like parked or whatever. And then
boom. Oh, and they blow up.
They all blow up. And then the city floods.
Oh, the city does flood.
The city actually floods.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Straight up. Come on.
So, and that's where he gets down in the water and he's laying
through. Consequences.
There's some serious consequences. And so it's very much the flood. And with that, you know, in Catholic theology, we believe, specifically sacramental theology, and in the rites of the sacraments.
Mm.
In baptism, there's this beautiful. Have you ever been to like a child's baptism?
It's been a minute.
You gotta find a baby and go to their baptism. And
done.
Yeah. Actually, aren't the driver's having a baby soon? I'm having a baby in a few. Sorry, they just had one. What am I saying? Someone's having a baby. Sorry. No, it's not true. What am I saying? Someone's got to have a baby out there. You got to go to their baptism.
I know a few people.
Because
that
truly,
yeah,
and dear listener, if you have a chance to go to a baptism, go to
get
it.
There.
Because the imagery, my favorite part of a baptism, I think, is when the priest goes through, priest or deacon, goes through all of the Old Testament images of baptism. Like the typology, the types.
Sure.
So like where we saw it in the Old Testament before. So the flood is on some level an image of baptism, and you know,
right,
the sacrament of baptism,
that mercy, and
yeah, is like the mercy of the
renewal.
Ark,
right,
and being born into the life of the church is like being, you know, put on the ark in the flood,
mm-hmm.
And also another of the images I mentioned are the Israelites being led through the Red Sea.
Mm.
Which is very much what it feels like when Batman's leading them through the water. Like that image from above, it's just definitely like you see them kind of like being led out in this very symbolic image. So I could not help but think about the Red Sea and like Noah leading them through the Red Sea. So I think it's baptism. And there's a way in which I think the city does get baptized by this flood.
Mm.
And comes out the other side more committed to being rid of corruption,
mm-hmm.
more committed to virtue and to mercy and to hope. And even like the skies are lightened for the first time of the whole movie after that, which is just, it's a beautiful image. Yeah. And even so at the very end of the film, when there's a funny scene that a lot of people have compared, they chuckle at it when they watch it. I chuckled a little bit when I watched it because it feels very, very much like the final scene, I think, of Furious 7.
Oh my gosh. I wouldn't know.
So in Fast and Furious, I
believe, oh, is that the one where what's his face passed away?
Yeah, so Paul Walker.
Is it the
died like during filming? Before,
oh my gosh.
Filming.
So is it the it's been a long day kind of?
I think so. But oh but so they like Founder drive they come next to each other and then they're driving.
Catwoman and Batman or?
Well, so Catwoman and Batman in this film, but in that film it's, you know,
right.
whatever the two guys are, Paul right. and Paul Walker's character
Baldhead.
And Vin Diesel's character. And they're like driving together until they veer off into different paths. And the same thing happens with Catwoman and Batman on their bikes. And they like are driving. It's like this overhead shot, very similar. And then they like split. And it's kind of funny because it just looks very much like Furious 7. Yeah. Like, I'm sure there's a meme out there that like puts that song
someone's absolutely
over that,
done that already.
Within 3 seconds. Yeah.
Right.
But here's the deal. In that movie,
uh-huh.
Paul Walker had died, right? And it was very much like a kind of a taste or foretaste of heaven type of thing. Like, I mean, it was just very idyllic, right? When they're just driving along, just total joy and freedom, and then like kind of splitting off into the sunset. And so in a similar way, I think that's what this is. It's like a little taste of heaven.
Mm.
And I think there's such like a hope there, and again you kind of they come through this darkness and through the flood and been born into something new. And I don't know. I just really go against anyone who thinks that like this is just such a dark movie, so gritty and scary, and like no, it's there's it's dark, especially at the beginning, but I think it comes to such a place of hope and renewal.
Totally.
And I'm so excited by it and like excited to see what happens. And yeah.
Yeah, right on. What So it sounds like the questions, so it sounds like a lot of, you know, questions get posed throughout the movie, whether that's corruption and
yeah.
can we actually be philanthropic and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
what is power? If you have power, can you actually be honest?
Yep,
and
yep.
Yeah, how do I save people that don't want to be saved because there's so many criminals or whatever
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you find a satisfying answer to those questions?
I'm not certain I did, but I'm not certain that the culture is capable of giving the most satisfying
right.
answers.
Sure.
So on some level, I'm happy enough when a movie hits you with great questions in a great context that points towards possibly good answers.
Sure.
Because I don't think that the culture can get you to great answers on a lot of those questions.
What would you say was the hopeful point, I guess? So I'll give you a brief insight into how my brain is asking these questions. I think I'm hearing a lot of there's this darkness where there's bringing up a lot of stuff. Batman's going through this thing and then he leads people out of the water and there's hope. And I want to know what, so is the hope, and you mentioned the hope is, you know, better commitment to virtue, better commitment to non-corruption, mm-hmm, I guess, mm-hmm. and some of these sorts of things. Is there are those implied things, or is there a, you know, I mean, sometimes in the falling action, you've got, you know, the good mayoral candidate gets elected or whatever, or,
right,
you know,
right.
all of a sudden you see Bruce, you know, hauling sandbags or something.
Yeah,
or, you know,
yeah.
Does that make sense as a question or?
Yeah, no, it does.
Okay.
And I mean, on some level, yeah, the candidate, I think it seems like she's, you know, probably going to get elected or whatever.
Sure,
but, like,
sure.
But that seems less of the point. It seems more of like the point of like he's becoming, I think the Batman has become less of an angel of death, angel of fear,
mm-hmm.
instilling fear, and more of an angel of light, angel of hope.
Right on.
Who's coming down to be with the people, in a sense.
The condescending.
The condescending. Yeah. And I think that that's what has to happen. There's an incredible part at the end where the Catwoman says, why don't you come with me? Like, we can just go get in trouble or whatever. And then she's like, who am I kidding? Like, you're already spoken for. And I love that phrase of you're spoken for. Mm. Because, normally it means like you're in a relationship, right? You're spoken for.
I didn't know that. This is new to me.
Yeah, like you're spoken for.
Sure.
Yeah. The thing is, I feel like the relationship there is, he has a relationship with the city and with the people. And like, that's a beautiful image. Again, like in terms of sacraments and all that, like it's like a marriage thing. And it made me think of how traditionally, actually, bishops were actually often not moved. And my understanding is that in history, this
priests weren't.
Like bishops and priests.
The whole 6-year thing is pretty new. Yeah.
Yeah. There was this idea that you actually were married to like your diocese. I love that. And I do love that. And I'm sure there's, different views on it and different ways to approach
it.
But like,
bring it back.
But I really believe that like there's a way in which he's a servant. He's like a bishop. He's like married to the city. It's a Christ-like thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm making too much out of that. But I just really think like this idea of like him.
Andy, our job is to make too much out of that. That's exactly why we're here.
So true. Yeah. But I love that. So for me, the message I took away from it was like getting on the level. Because a father and a husband, that's how they have to be, is not ordering around and not demanding fear.
Yeah.
But being on the level of the people, of the children.
Smelling like the sheep.
Smelling like the sheep, yeah. Thanks, so Papa, I really love that. And it was great. I won't even say, here's a couple of things I won't even talk about because we don't have time. Is Colin Farrell as a penguin is incredible.
Oh my gosh, the penguin's in it? What?
He is.
Nice.
And Colin Farrell is absolutely unrecognizable. Colin Farrell is Colin Farrell is the why am I blanking? What all he's
also
in?
Jeffrey Wright's in a ton. I know that happened. But he's in a ton.
I'm suddenly blanking on what you would know Colin Farrell from, but he's in a ton of movies. Why am I blanking? He's in the Lobster.
Oh my gosh, I love him.
Yeah,
he's great. He's in Bruges.
In Bruges, have you seen the movie?
No, but I've seen a video essay on it.
Okay, yeah, he's an incredible actor, but he's totally unrecognizable as a penguin. Penguin does an amazing job.
Yeah, he looks more like a...
Oh, you can't even tell. You cannot even tell.
I know. Oh, he looks more like the Men in Black guy.
Tommy Lee Jones?
He kind of looks like Tommy Lee Jones.
That's funny,
Really angry, depressed Tommy Lee Jones.
Well, so one of the best scenes in the movie is when Batman chases the penguin.
Sure.
And the reveal of... I'll just tell you, the reveal of the Batmobile is incredible. It's like Mad Max Fury Road level style of excitement.
We love it.
Which is so good. So that part's amazing. And one other thing, I guess, that's amazing that I can't go into too much detail, but I'll leave this little thing unspoiled for you.
Oh, wow.
There is a tool that Batman uses. He uses all sorts of fun tools, but there's a tool that he uses for his detective work that has to do with contact lenses. And it's amazing.
Mission Impossible.
I don't know. I won't get into it. I won't spoil it.
Okay.
When you watch it, I think you'll love it. And there's something about it that is amazing from a filmmaking standpoint.
Sure.
And from a story standpoint. And I think it's just exciting. And I'll just leave that little tidbit, that one little thing that you don't, that you won't be unspoiled on.
I'm probably going to wait for it to come out on streaming.
Do it.
But I am excited to watch it.
Yeah. A few quick, criticisms. The plot is a little convoluted.
Sure.
And it is very dark.
It sounds like they're shoving a lot in there.
What was it? Shoving a lot?
It sounds like they're packing it full.
It's very much like the genre, though, like the noir genre, where it's like kind of just convoluted and it's like
stories everywhere. Convoluted. Yeah.
And a couple other things. Batman survives some things and the mayor survives some things that like they really shouldn't. And it took me a little bit out of it. Yeah.
You're dead.
The Riddler is just always teasing him along. And in some ways that wasn't satisfying to me. But the fact that he almost like never caught up with the Riddler in a sense, because even at the very end, like the things all blow up and he has no chance of stopping him. So on some level, that wasn't entirely satisfying, although I think it made sense for what they were doing.
Okay.
And then there are a few current moment feeling things, like, do you ever, what I'm talking about?
Of the times? Is that kind of what you're saying?
More like some people would refer to it as almost like PC things.
Political
things.
Right, like, a sign of the times.
I feel like to me the issue is like sometimes it feels like this is relevant now, like this second. But in 4 years, am I going to be just annoyed by this?
So like, it's maybe I can use actor-y things. So a term is, does the moment call, like what does the moment call for in a scene?
Yeah.
And oftentimes I have found anyway, when you're slipping an agenda, whatever your agenda is, into a film, it feels unnatural because the reality of the relationships between the characters does not demand whatever thing you're trying to shove in there. So even that's the beauty of a good commercial, is that they necessitate, the moment does call for whatever the commercial is about, kind of thing. And that's when you can often tell a phony commercial, the worst example being the TV ads where people are like throwing popcorn and it's like, I need this popcorn holder now. And it's like, no one spills popcorn.
Totally.
Like you are just wildly incompetent.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah. So would you say that the moment did not call for it and it felt unnatural, or was it more just, I don't know. This doesn't
a little bit of that.
Okay.
It wasn't horrible, but it was just like, because it was such an established mood, I think it rubbed me a little bit stronger because it stood out a little bit more.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Versus movies that are like, well, you don't have like a great, like a very well established mood or feeling anyway, so it's not that big a deal. So those rubbed me wrong a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a huge deal.
Okay.
Not as bad as it could have been, for sure, in that way. So I would recommend this. I would say go watch it and be inspired by like that idea of getting down with the people and like humbling yourself in mm-hmm. service,
mm-hmm.
you know, humble service, I think is the big takeaway I took from it.
Totally.
And I think that's what we got to do, right? As disciples, as missionaries,
mm-hmm.
be humble,
mm-hmm.
serve, get down on their level and make some eye contact and get out of your phone. So,
oh, that's my okay. Thing. That's all
my
right.
Thing. That's my big old wrap
big
up.
Big old so. Shift. There you go.
But anyhow, with all that said, we hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode. Join us next week when we do a deep dive into one of my favorite things in existence, the Fellowship of the Ring.
The Fellowship of the Ring. Yeah. Though They Die is sponsored by Net Ministries. To get in touch with Andy and Ali, email us at thoughtheydie@netusa.org. We do check that.
Yes, Ali checks
do.
That.
I
Ali
promise.
That.
I'm checking it right now because I was like, I haven't checked it in a while.
Well, to get involved as a Net Missionary, go to netusa.org/apply and apply today.
Do it. Thanks. Peace, y'all.